I'm Kevin DeCristofano.
I'm Sean Flanagan.
And we are the Ninja Turtle Nerds, your weekly podcast for reviewing the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle comics one issue at a time. One issue per week, except this week you get a bonus episode because we got those reviews, and thank you so much for leaving those reviews. So here we go. We got the Michelangelo one-shot this time around. 30 pages. It's from December of 1985. So this one came out really out of order to where it takes place in the timeline. So this episode's kind of going where, if you want to read the issues in chronological order instead of release order, this is where it would go. It's supposed to take place in between issues 7 and 8, but it was released in December of 85, which is, you know, 2 months after issue number 5. So this came out before 6, but it doesn't take place till after 7.
Wow.
So basically the breakdown is like October of 85, you get issue 5. November, nothing. December, we got this, Michelangelo one-shot. January, nothing. February, you get issue 6. Then you get 2 months of nothing. March, April, nothing. Then May, you get issue 7. And then after that is where this is supposed to take place.
Huh.
So basically it takes place 6 months after it was released. 6 months in the future.
It's a little trippy.
Not really, because the timeline doesn't, you know, the turtles aren't doing like 1 month per issue, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
And the second print of the comic had an added backup story, A Christmas Carol, which was pretty good. This was written and illustrated by Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird. And yeah, that's basically it. Let's dive right in. So let's talk about this here cover.
So I find this cover a little disappointing because it's so similar to the cover for 3.
A lot of this comic is similar to 3, which is weird because it's, you know, almost a full year, almost 2 years later, you know?
I mean, it's not a bad cover, but I was just like, huh, it's pretty much the third issue cover, but with snow.
So the cover is going to be on our Instagram and our Twitter, if you haven't seen it, at TMNT Nerds. You can follow us there, and we post all the visual stuff we talk about. I'm sure regular listeners are getting sick of hearing me say that by now. it's Michelangelo clinging to a truck that's driving while a dude shoots out the window at him, and the driver is kind of, I don't know, swerving.
Yeah. I mean,
and
like I said,
there's holly all around the edges.
It's a cool cover. It's just maybe because it's not that far removed from issue 3. I don't know. So
it's interesting that they, after the first issue, that we're pretty far in at this point. I mean, we're 5 issues have been released, and we got 2 more before it takes place, and we got the Raphael one-shot and the Fugitoid one-shot in there. We're like at least 7-8 issues into the publication history here, and they're still going with that spelling of Michelangelo, which it gets corrected. We should start paying attention to when they fix it, because I don't think it's for a long time. I think it's literally might even be all the way until IDW before they start spelling it the more traditional way.
I didn't notice that it was spelled differently.
So they spell Michelangelo M-I-C-H-A-E-L. They add an A in there for some reason.
Oh, okay.
The traditional spelling is M-I-C-H-E-L-A-N.
Huh.
So they spell it C-H-A-E-L-A-N. So maybe they didn't notice they were spelling it wrong, and so their letterer just kept copying it different. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe that's like a different version, like Sean and Cian.
Oh, maybe.
But it's not if you use your voice to talk function on your phone and you say Michelangelo, you're not going to get that spelling.
Right.
You're going to get the one that's more traditional.
I will say this issue, like from the cover through the whole thing, perfectly captures the holiday season.
Yeah, I actually bust this one out a lot of Christmases, like this and the Leonardo one, which we'll get to eventually. like has some real good Christmas vibes, which the Leonardo one, I think, takes place the following year. I think they mentioned, I think they mentioned this comic in the Leonardo one.
Yeah, because they, I think the Leonardo one has a throwback to the cat in this one.
And so we start off, Michelangelo's walking the snowy streets of New York, like, you know, Batman Returns style. Or that's Gotham City. But, because, you know,
Penguin
Man looks like Batman
Returns.
Read
all about it.
They got this bridge here that looks like where they dumped the penguin.
Yeah. They don't have that that railing, though, with the spikes on it that I've never understood even when I was a kid. They just don't want you to touch that railing.
Why is this railing here? For safety. Why are the spikes here? For danger. Always a balance there must be.
So,
but the shopping center where the Santa's ringing the bell really reminds me of that Batman Returns, like where they light the tree.
Yep.
Like it really reminds me of that square foot of Gotham that you see.
So, but back to, I brought this up on the Raph one shot, but as Mikey's, you know, kind of observing the scene around him, this really bizarrely drawn couple is skating. And I don't know. The guy looks like he's kidnapped the woman. Like, I don't know, something's just off. They don't look like they're together to me.
Yeah, he does kind of look very disheveled and homeless. They like to draw face. They like to draw hair, I've noticed.
Yeah.
A lot of their characters have beards, or like Casey Jones has that weird, fluffy, almost homeless person-looking hair.
Yep.
Maybe it was the 80s. I don't know. Maybe it's trying to translate a black and white comic to color.
But I mean,
like that probably looks a lot better in black and white. This time I didn't read the original black and white. My copies are down in the basement, and sometimes it's a pain to go and get them when I can just read. I've got the Color Classics volumes upstairs.
Oh, okay.
So
I will say
I need to start breaking those out more, though, to tell you the truth. So, like, I should start looking in the letters sections and stuff for the show. So
I will say Eastman and Laird do a better job at drawing kids. Like, I don't know, their kids look weird.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's a great moment
because they don't have as many features. They don't overcomplicate it.
Yeah, but I like Mikey, you know, going sledding, and I don't know, just him kind of getting caught up in the moment is cool.
Yeah, he's learning what the peoples are doing around Christmas time. It's like his first above ground Christmas, it seems like. And goes by a toy store.
Chet's.
And he sees, Chet. Oh yeah, Chet alert. There's another Chet. Yep. We're recording these out of order, so I don't know if in the main episodes
one?
We've started tracking Chet's yet.
This is the fourth one, I think, as far as recording, but
It's the fourth one as far as recording order goes. Yeah, so if we all of a sudden jump to five, you'll know why eventually.
I had this really bizarre moment, too, where when he's outside and he's looking in, and then he goes in the toy store. I miss toy stores.
Yeah. I worked at KB Toys for a second when I was, like, just out of high school, I think it was. And it was in this mall that was, I mean, our listeners aren't going to know the name of the mall, so I won't say it, but it's you know the mall I'm talking about, the one that was closing down.
The one you'd filmed Dawn of the Dead in now.
Yeah, nobody went there anymore because a new mall was built literally like two blocks down the street, and it had a better food court.
Yep.
So yeah, that was the first time I saw a toy store die. And not the last.
I mean, I know you could still go buy toys, but I don't know. There's just something about a store dedicated to them where it's like, yeah, I know I'm 35, but I kind of want to walk around a toy store.
Well, they are going to be bringing the Toys R Us brand back. Did you see that?
I did not.
Which I'm just going to say, and I know I'm not the only one, but I called it when they went out of business. I said, no, even if the company is... And I don't know much about business. I didn't go to business school. But what I do know is that even if the company was run into the ground horribly, Toys R Us is a brand and a name that people recognize. So I, even then I said, okay, they're bankrupt now, but I guarantee within the next 5 years, somebody buys the rights to that and like revives that brand. And sure enough, a few years later, when I just read a news article the other day that they're basically going to turn it into what KB Toys was. They're going to start opening a few Toys R Us locations, like in little, not malls, because people don't go to malls anymore, but like shopping centers.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So they're going to open a few small Toys R Us locations at some point. I don't know when, because I don't know how far into the future this episode's even going up. But so go shop at Toys R Us. They're open now. You heard it here first.
So I like when Mikey walks in the store. He gets the cat before this, too. So he's sneaking the cat in his jacket into the store. But Peter and Kevin are very good at stupid verbal jokes. And I really like the employee talking to the woman who's looking for the orphan alien toys. And every time they write orphan alien, they put the little TM trademark next to it. Like it's a real thing.
I love any time they create fake toys like Turbo Man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For some reason, that's the only one coming to mind right now. But you know it's a thing. Like cartoons used to always create fake toys so they didn't have to, like, you know, put any real toys in and pay anyone money. But it's like world building, you know? You feel a little more like the turtles inhabit their own world in a way that you're like, I recognize that. It's similar to mine, but I get why I can't meet a turtle.
It reminds me of like one of the reasons I've always loved the Batman animated series, like the Grey Ghost episode, like all those toys, they're kind of like that universe's take on something that's generic, but it's not something that you could play. Oh, I'm going to go get the little car that he, you know, the Mad Bomber uses. It's like, well, you can't, but I get what they were doing and it fits, you know, that version. So I do like that. And that's, you know, the great little montage of Mikey playing with stuff.
I like that this toy he has here reminds me of, they had a lot of these in the late 80s and the early 90s, these like mascot stuffed animal type toys. My Little Monster or something like that. And they had like a whole bunch of things like that where they each tried to create their own line of like, it was almost like an action figure line, but it would be stuffed animals.
Yeah, yep.
And he's got a kind of a monster-y looking stuffed animal thing here.
I like how they kind of like, you know, had fun with designs too. Like if you're looking at the shelves as Michelangelo's going down the aisles. It took me a minute because at first I thought it was a 3PO, but I realized there's a Fugitoid head on one of the shelves. So that was kind of a cool little Easter egg. And then...
I love Fugitoid.
He is a really great character.
When he showed up in the 2012 cartoon, I lost my expletive. Like, I lost my mind when that guy showed up because I didn't think the show was going to put him in, you know? He's one of those Ninja Turtle characters that you're not obligated to use.
Right.
Like the Triceratons. It's like if you make a new Ninja Turtle cartoon, they expect you to. You have to do Splinter. You have to do Shredder, even though they don't. I don't think they've done them in the Rise cartoon yet. And like, you know, you have to do some kind of Krang alien.
Yeah, yeah.
But you don't have to do Fugitoid. You don't have to do the Triceratons. And the 2012 cartoon did both. That cartoon's so good. Ugh. That's like this third place in terms of like best Turtles adaptations. There's the 90s movie. There's... The IDW comic.
The Nickelodeon's run.
Nickelodeon. You know what? Nickelodeon's run, I'm going to say, is tied with Mirage. It's really hard for me to say which is better because I love the Nickelodeon cartoon, but I love it because it draws so much from the Mirage comics.
Right.
So it's really tough for me to say there, which is the best version of the Turtles. So anyway, Mikey's going in the back room here, and
he sees these guys
in the ski masks.
They're up to something that's less than legal.
Yeah, and then they just get right into shooting at him. So they knock out this. What is he, a guard, I guess?
Yeah, like he's like security guard? The loading dock security, because they just got a shipment in of the orphan alien dolls.
Yeah, so they pistol whip him, and then they start shooting at Michelangelo, who's crouched down behind some boxes, and then he leaps out at them, grabbing onto, in Toy Story, how they had that cable, that like cord behind the truck that Buzz and Woody were hanging onto?
Oh, yeah.
That's basically what Michelangelo grabs. And Chet's Toys is now dragging a mutant turtle behind their truck, except it's bad guys driving. And yeah, and at this point, not only does the cover have a lot in common with issue number 3, but most of the rest of the issue is like a lot like issue 3.
Yeah.
Like it's a car chase without the exact circumstances, but it's another like,
it has almost the same beats.
Yeah. Yeah, the car is going fast. They're driving fast and causing danger because they're driving fast.
This time
it's in the snow.
I give these criminals credit for being confident enough to adhere to the stoplight. Like, they're like, we lost them. And I'm just like, what? No, just keep going. Like...
And then you even have the bit of the confused cops. Like, you even have that story overlap of, so eventually Michelangelo is the one driving the truck, and now he's being chased by the cops, but
now
obviously Michelangelo's the good guy.
Yeah.
So, like, now at this point, it basically is issue 3, where they're the good guys and they're running from the cops because of a misunderstanding.
There's one little detail that I really like in this issue, and... You know, it could just simply be because none of this stuff tends to happen around, like, the public. But I love how the New Yorkers are just unfazed by it.
Yeah, that was a classic joke back then that I don't think shows and things do anymore. It's like and they did it in the 1990 movie.
Yeah, the cab driver.
You going to LaGuardia, right? Like, and Ghostbusters really played on that, too.
Yep.
New York City just had this vibe of indifference back in the mid-80s
to mid-90s. Yeah, it's very dated and of the time, but I don't know. It's a little detail I like. That's been my rationale. Like, you know, I've...
Because it's supposed to be like, you know, New York City is such a crazy place to live that they've seen everything, you know? And
now they
kind of do that with, like, L.A. now in things.
Well,
it's become like Los Angeles and Hollywood.
My argument in the MCU, right, but, you know, the pointless, you're bored, so you argue with somebody about it. The kids in Black Panther who are like, oh, my God, a spaceship. And I'm like, well, you've already had aliens invade the Earth at this point, so it's like, that really shouldn't be that big a deal.
I mean, they flat out say in Infinity War, Stan Lee says, wait, what, you kids have never seen a spaceship before?
Yeah.
Like, it's that common.
Like, I like Black Panther, but that one part sticks out to me, and I'm like, those kids shouldn't be fazed at all by that. I feel like...
I have to say, you know what? I'm going to ask you first.
Yeah.
So between issue 3 and this Michelangelo one-shot, since they're so similar, which one do you prefer?
I prefer issue 3, but it's
really
just because of little details.
Okay.
I don't like the crooked cop thing that they kind of like sneak into this issue.
See, I feel like this Michelangelo one-shot came about because somebody took issue 3 of Ninja Turtles and said, it's good, but I'm going to tailor this specifically for Kevin. Because I'm a sucker for Christmas stuff.
Stuff you love in it. So
I love Christmas stuff. I love toys. I love snow and like when I've talked about this with Sean before, like in video games, anytime there's like, you know, like a Mario 64 or a Banjo-Kazooie type game, the snow levels are always my favorite levels. Yep. It's just, I don't know what it is about it. There's just something so calming to me about this white snow falling and covering everything. And I love it. So yeah, there's just something comforting about this issue that I don't get when I read issue number three. Issue number three, I feel like I'm moving the story along and I'm seeing characters I love move the story. But here, I feel like this is something that I can like disappear into while I read it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, like I said, it's just little moments that put it behind that issue. Like through the whole chase, they never show Clunk the cat in the back of the truck. Like, I would have liked a panel of what was going on back there with him.
Yeah, you get the feeling he wouldn't be too safe back there.
And then, like, I don't know.
Going back to the Toy Story analogy, it's like Woody in the back of the Pizza Planet truck.
Yeah, if you just never
getting tossed around
showed that. You know, if it just been, oh, you know, sit in the front, blah, ha, ha, and then they just cut to them pulling into Pizza Planet. You're just missing part of it, but I don't know, the cop thing, I get what they were trying to do, but it comes off as really just cheap to me, because, you know, oh, yeah, we're gonna, yeah, maybe we'll
tell the listeners what happens with the cops.
Oh, the cops
aren't, because I want to kind of keep the podcast still good for people who can't read the issues for any reason, if they want to just know what's going on.
So at this point, the police are looking for the van, and there's a point where these two officers start to pursue and talk about, you know, oh, maybe one or two of those alien dolls make it to my house instead of into evidence. And I'm just like, I don't know. It seemed like an unnecessary little detail. And I don't know. The way the cops are in issue three makes like sense to me. And this just kind of...
You know what I think that's supposed to be, though? I think, and I could have my history wrong here, but I think when this came out in, I said it at the top of the episode, what is it? It was 1986.
Mm.
This was before they started really cleaning up the New York police force.
Yeah.
So I think that was something where they're making a commentary on, it was widely known at the time that New York cops are corrupt. And then, was it Giuliani, I think, who cracked down on that in like the 90s, or at least claimed he did? I think it was like 1992-ish when they really started to work on that. And that was when they started cleaning up Times Square, apparently, I don't even remember this because it happened when we were so young, but apparently Times Square was not always the nice tourist attraction it is now.
Oh, no.
Like apparently it was a place you went to get mugged. In the 80s and early 90s.
Yeah. So yeah, that's if you ever want to see like New York, like what it really was like at that time, yeah, watch like a 70s movie or something that was shot there, or like Scorsese stuff, and it's like, yeah, okay, I could see why maybe you wanted to clean that up a little, but
it adds an extra level of confusion to Captain America at the end of his movie.
Somebody should be punching me right now.
Huh. Where's all the porn theaters that belong here?
But I don't know. It might just be my age too. Like, I've read so many stories or seen so many stories now with those characters. I'm like, all right, yeah, I got it. Crooked cops. But it might just be the cynic in me who's like, really? Are they going to take dolls from kids? So, but I like the way they resolve this story.
Yeah, Michelangelo brings the cat home. Don't like what they're doing with April in this issue. Because she's only in like three panels, and they draw her in these really short shorts. And
oh, yeah,
it's
yeah.
just not... That it's not great.
That gets back to kind of their hit and miss on people. But yeah, April takes a while.
I don't think they figure April out until they go to Northampton.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's doing those internal monologues throughout that whole issue, which we will get to when it shows up.
Is this issue the first appearance of Donnie's death bot?
Yes, it absolutely is.
Okay.
What happens is Michelangelo brings the cat home, and you see he brings it back to April's place. They're staying with April, as you know, if you've been listening, because their place got trashed by the Mousers and Splinter's missing. Actually, when does this take place? This takes place right when they just got back from their extra-dimensional adventure.
Yeah.
So they found Splinter at this point, but they're still living with April.
But no, I like how it ends that he goes back and he gets all of them to help him bring the stuff to the orphanage.
You know what I just noticed?
That they're Ninja Turtles. I could be wrong.
Correct me if I am. Because remember at the beginning of this episode, I said how out of order this came out. It came out like 6 months before it takes place.
Yeah.
Or 6 months before the issue it would follow, I should say. Splinter isn't in this issue at all, so I wonder if they had locked down when this takes place yet, and if they had known, like, okay, you know, they're going to have Splinter back by that point. I don't think they'd decided that yet.
Yeah, so I think you're right as far as when it takes place, but yeah.
I mean, that's according to their Wikipedia. I mean, it could be wrong, but there's really not a lot of places it can take place story-wise because, you know, basically after issue 3, everything is one thing after the other until you get to issue 7 where you can take a break for a second and then this takes place. And then you get into issue 8. So it could come after 8. Even after 8, you'd have Splinter there.
Really, all you're lacking with him not being in it is the last panel, him being dressed as Krampus while they're all elves. So,
So you get to end on this great Merry Christmas page where Mikey is dressed as Santa Claus and all the kids are getting toys from the van that he had that high speed. So basically they stole the toys. some guys were stealing the toys and
but they were stealing
Mikey
them
chased
to get
them down
rich.
To stop them.
You know, Mikey turned it and made it a Robin Hood thing.
Yeah. He gave them to all the kids. They're orphans, right?
Yeah.
They get their little orphan alien. The orphans get little orphan alien dolls. And April O'Neil is dressed more appropriately on that page as an elf, and she's fully covered. And it's not like a sexy elf. It's just an elf. Yeah, this is a great page. Like, this would make a good poster.
Or a good Christmas card. I wonder if it is one.
And I love how they put it on the end that they normally have, and it says, "And to all a good night." Because they didn't do any other quoting from A Night Before Christmas.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean,
like the one line they take is like a mid-sentence line, "And to all a good night." Well, Michelangelo is shouting Merry Christmas to all.
Right. No, I think it's another solid one. I don't feel like there's a bad one shot out of the original batch, but no, I almost feel like they're equally good to each other. They all just have different things I like, but this one really fleshed Michelangelo out a lot. And
Yeah. And he definitely seems like the last turtle they figured out. And the first two they definitely narrowed in on were Raphael and Donatello, because they claim that was Peter and Kevin's personality, is that Peter Leard was more quiet and, like, you know, into technology, and Kevin was crazy and Raphael-like. So so then obviously at that point you need a leader, but so you give that to Leonardo.
Right.
And then like you know, if you haven't seen these character archetypes done 1,000 times, and really they're not done exactly the same way every time. Like the Ghostbusters don't really have a Michelangelo. Like they have Peter who is sarcastic, but he's not like a party guy. You know, they don't have that like crazy party guy on the Ghostbusters. Or what's like another 4-person team? The Fantastic Four Michelangelo would definitely be Johnny Storm.
Yeah.
So they kind of have a Michelangelo, but I mean, and they are big curvy big Kirby fans, so they might have been drawing from that a little.
I don't know. Do Chippendale Rescue Rangers have a Michelangelo?
Yeah. Yeah, it was Dale. He was the idiot. Wasn't he? I don't know the difference between Chip or Dale, but
I'm
one of those two was the idiot.
Trying to remember four-person teams now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's tough when you're on the spot, but I guarantee when we stop recording, you're going to think of like seven of them, because there's a lot. It's just when you start to think of it, you can't. I always compare the Turtles to Ghostbusters, though, because those were my two biggest like things growing up, and they're both four-person teams. And then Fantastic Four jumps in there usually.
I always associate Turtles and Ghostbusters anyway, though, because they kind of came out at the same time. They're both in New York. You know?
Yeah. And they have a great crossover that we'll probably talk about sometime down the line.
Oh, they had some awesome crossovers in my basement when I was a kid, because those toys teamed up constantly.
Yeah, absolutely, because they both had great toy lines.
The Turtles did not go down the fire pole real well.
Oh, man, they should have communicated better, the toy companies.
I remember trying it once, and, like, one of the Turtles flew off the thing mid, like, halfway down, and I think he broke the little tab off, so I had a Turtle who just had a red tab stuck in his foot forever.
They didn't fit in the Ghostbuster car either. I remember trying that all the time.
Yep.
I think you could sit one awkwardly on the helicopter. Remember they had that Ghostbuster helicopter where, like, it had, like, a hand, like a gun handle, and you would pull the trigger
and the helicopter
blades would spin.
Yeah. I think you could get them to awkwardly fit on the seat that would go on top of Ecto-1.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah.
Speaking of a turtle toy, you know the turtle blimp is... The turtle blimp is apparently... God, I keep popping these peas. Hold on. The turtle blimp is apparently... like one of the rare turtle toys now. Like if you find one in box, it's worth a decent amount of money, more so than any of the other turtle toys in box.
I could see that though, because I think I maybe knew one person that had the turtle blimp. Because it was kind of gigantic, wasn't it?
It was big. I don't know if I'd say gigantic, because when I think gigantic, I think of that G.I. Joe aircraft carrier, which was the size of a coffee table.
Well, it was pretty obnoxiously big as far as most of the turtle stuff. And you couldn't really do much with it.
Yeah, and like even though they came up again in Batman the Animated Series, blimps aren't that cool. Like kids want to play with like jets, you know, and like helicopters, and a blimp is not that cool.
I don't think,
as well be a hot air balloon.
I don't think there was a Ghostbusters blimp. So,
but if you love the Ninja Turtle blimp, let us know.
If you
and
have,
you can let us know on our social medias. We are at TMNT Nerds on Twitter, at TMNT Nerds on Instagram, and if we decide to be on anything else, we'll probably be at TMNT Nerds there too. So look us up at TMNT Nerds. You can email us how does email work? You can email us TMNTNerds@gmail.com. And send us, if you have a turtle blimp, send those pictures. Send us pictures of any turtle toys you like to play.
I'd love to see that stuff. I wish I kept a lot of it.
Yeah, I'm rebuying a lot of it.
Yeah, I can't bring myself to that point. I keep getting close on the arcade cabinet, but
yeah, that's a good one. So thank you guys so much, and thank you for the reviews, because we gave you these bonus episodes because we hit that goal. So I'm glad that we could fill in these one shots, because this one wasn't very continuity heavy, but the Leonardo one definitely is. So look for that one coming out soon. Next episode that we'll be doing here, though, is issue 8, where we, meet up with Cerberus. So,
For
that. Yeah. Cerberus the Aardvark. And look out for special guest. Who was in the bar in that episode? Like, who was in that alien bar?
Grimace was in there.
There was a cartoon character that we noticed. I don't know. Listen to the episode.
Yeah, listen to the episode.
We already forgot.
Because I remember drunk Grimace, but I don't remember who else.
There was somebody sitting, like, in the Han Solo seat.
Yeah.
That was, like, that we were like, that's definitely supposed to be that guy. But I don't know. Listen to the episode. You'll hear that. Thank you very much for listening to this episode. And we'll see you guys next time on the Ninja Turtle Movies.